growing up in the church, one of my favorite stories in all of Scripture involved my namesake, David. And I speak, of course, of David slaying Goliath. Now, this story has a certain appeal to young boys. It's violent. We hear about God helping his people triumph over their enemies. But why is it that this story stands out to us so much from the Old Testament? The Old Testament is littered with stories of battles, gruesome, gory details, God helping his people, almost always outnumbered and surrounded, push off those who would come against them on the field of battle. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment that the story of David and Goliath went a little differently. Imagine the whole army of the people of God terrified at this giant, Goliath. One huge man scaring off a whole army. And then imagine that God raises up from the Israelites someone equal in stature to Goliath, another giant to fight this giant. Now, surely God could have chosen to do it this way, and God would have blessed the Israelites' giant, and they would have won. But the story wouldn't quite have the same ring to it that it does to our ears, the way it really happened. It would sound like folly if David was another giant fighting against Goliath. Another story to go down in the Old Testament of this battle and the other. What amazes us so much about this story, what drives the point home of God's grace and provision, is that God does not raise up a giant to fight a giant. He gets a kid to go down to the river, get some stones, take his slingshot suitable only for hunting varmint, and to slay a giant. David's weakness, his inadequacy for the task, is exactly what makes the story. God's glory, his strength, his greatness is most revealed in the midst of our own weakness. This story, imagine, would not have the same ring that it does if God used a giant to slay a giant, but instead he used a little kid with nothing more than a toy to kill the enemy of the people of God. Our epistle for today highlights the importance of our own human weakness in God's revealing his glory and his strength to the whole world. It is not something we like to consider very often. We certainly don't like to think of ourselves as weak, but it is precisely in the weak points of our lives that God's glory shines through us the most. And given that our purpose on earth is to glorify God and to bring other people into his transforming presence, we do well to think about how we understand weakness in light of the fact that this is one way, in fact, one of the greatest ways that God's glory is revealed. So this morning, as we think about God's power and his greatness, we must also think about how God wishes to reveal himself in the world. Not only God's greatness out there in the heavens forever, but how God's greatness breaks into our reality. And finally, most importantly, how we, in embracing our own weakness, can, just like David slaying Goliath, be instruments of God's revelation of his greatness, of his power, to the world around us. We know that God is great and God is powerful. He's the God who wonderfully created all of this and yet more wonderfully restored the dignity of human nature. The God who has brought us back to himself even though we rebelled against him. God's power enables him to do anything he wishes, to create worlds out of nothing, to bring back penitent sinners into his heart, to bring back all of us into his very life. God's power was revealed in creation. It is revealed in the stories we receive through his word, the Holy Scripture. And above all else, it is revealed in the person of Jesus Christ, who came as a wee infant, a baby, persecuted under the Roman Empire to set the world on its head and in so doing set everything right. God's own story of interacting with the world shows how he uses weakness to bring strength. Imagine if you had told people of the day that a baby born in a stable to a poor family would turn everything right. Surely, if you were looking for a conquering king, you would do well to look in a castle, in a palace, rather than in such a humble place. But God uses the humble to lift up his glory. He brings people back to himself. We know that God is all-powerful and can do whatever he wishes. But if God is all-powerful and sitting on some distant cloud in a distant heaven, what good is that to us? God reveals himself in the world through his action in the world, chiefly in the incarnation, coming in the humble form of an infant to bring us back to himself. It is only in the way God works, it is only in God's economy, that one man, our Lord, perfectly God and perfectly man, could die all of our deaths once and for all, for the sins of the world, to bring us back to himself. God intervenes in history. We see this throughout the scriptures, and we see it in our lives day by day, as we notice what God is doing around us. And this indeed is part of the difficult task. Throughout Christian history, many monastics, contemplatives, have written things that show they are drinking from wells far deeper than most of us drink from. This fall, I'll be attending a retreat at a monastery, and one of the sisters there has written many books, and I was amazed one day how I read at length how inspired she was by the greatness of God as revealed in this tree that she was looking at. Now, I don't drink from wells that deep. I try. But in all truth, everywhere we look, we are to see God at work in the world about us. Whether we see God bring healing through medicine or healing through immediate intervention, this is God's doing. When the earth provides its bounty and feeds us, this is God's doing as well. In the so-called miraculous things that get our attention and in the mundane things of life, God's glory is being revealed, as everything we have comes from him. It is all simply a gift, something that we do not merit, but something that he freely bestows on all of his children, who he is continually calling to come back into perfect relationship with him. So what is this business about weakness? We hear in our epistle about being lifted up into the third heaven, seeing this great glory, and then literally being brought back down to earth by this thorn in the flesh, this difficulty, this reminder of one's own frailty. But we are told, "My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness." And Paul responds, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." We have an unfortunate myth as Americans. Imagine the people we consider most successful, the best. This myth of pulling oneself up by one's own bootstraps, which of course is hogwash because we've all had opportunities given to us. We've all had privileges given to us. People have helped provide our needs. But the best person that our society can imagine is a self-made man or woman. One who doesn't need anyone for anything. Social Security goes bankrupt, Medicare goes bankrupt, they won't even notice. These people who have made it all for themselves. Independence is the height of the American dream. And this is fundamentally wrong for the Christian. For the Christian, we acknowledge that we are wholly and completely dependent upon God for all that we have. Do you have a good job and you are able to feed your family? This is good. Give thanks to God for the gift of your family that supported you, of the education you were able to receive, of the work you have been given. Do you have your needs supplied? This is a good thing, but give thanks, for you have not done it out of any of your own power. You have done it because of God's grace working in your life. But what about weakness? What about when we come to the end of our ropes? When we have nothing left to give? When we can't even imagine carrying on? Our reading today teaches us that it is precisely in the weakest moments of our lives, when we have nothing else left to give, that God's strength and his glory is most shown through us out into the world. It is precisely when we are weakest that we are strongest. Because when we finally admit that we have run out of ourselves, when we finally admit that we cannot do it on our own, it is then that God's power is shown to be perfected in each of our lives. Now, we are here to glorify God. We are here to see Him at work in the world about us. And we are here to bring other people into His transforming presence. We do this when we admit that we are weak. This cuts against what we have been taught. This cuts against our culture. It even cuts against putting on a smile and your good suit to come to church on Sunday morning. We have been taught to act like we have it together. But when you admit that you are weak, others can see God's strength. So when someone asks you, how is it that you are making it when unemployment is about to run out? Don't put on a show. Say that you're fine, that you're strong, and you'll make it. Admit that you are weak. Admit that you don't know where your next check is coming from, but you know that your food will come from the hand of God Himself. When someone asks you, how do you deal with the fact that your adult child has walked away from the faith? Do not pretend you are okay. We know you're not. Admit that you are weak. Admit that you don't know how you will make it, but that you know God's grace is sufficient even to bring the most prodigal child back into the fold. If we are honest about our weakness, if we are willing to show others in the world that we do not have it together, we cannot provide for ourselves, we run out of ourselves all the time, and we find ourselves at the end of our rope, it is then that we in our weakness will be overshadowed by the greatness of God, and He will be glorified in our lives. For when we are weak, then we are strong. God's power is shown to be perfect, precisely in our weakness. We have the opportunity throughout our lives to live stories just like David and Goliath, in a far deeper way than children acting it out when they're young. We come up against these giants all of the time, worrying about retirement, worrying about our income, worrying about our family. And if we allow the world to see that we do not have some facade that we show to them, if we allow them to see us as a little boy going to the creek to get smooth stones for our little slingshots that we place in the hands of God, we will be instruments through which God's greatness will be revealed. But we cannot participate in this if we keep on with the charade of acting like we are doing it on our own. We are weak. We all know it in the quiet moments of our hearts. We all know it when we're alone and no one is watching. And if we are willing to be David's, if we are willing to show ourselves weak in the face of adversity, God's strength will shine forth through our lives. He will be glorified. We will be strengthened, for when we are weak, we are strong. And the world around us will not help but notice that these people who have run out of themselves seem to be sustained, that those who are weak seem to be carried along by the hand of God. And they will wonder what that is about. And we will bring them to know the God who died for them and wishes to redeem them to Himself. May God give us the grace to acknowledge our weakness, to be weak in all that we have to face, because it is precisely then that we will be made strong beyond our wildest imaginations, beyond the greatest strength that we can muster, for God's glory, for our benefit, and for the salvation of the world. Amen.